If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, this is Pablo Zabaleta.
This is Troy Deeney.
This is Kevin Phillips.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travelled to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast would not happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to become a socio, to become one of our members, and get an extra big interview every month, plus loads of bonus content. So go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter, patreon.com/Graham Hunter, and we'll bring you joy.
From Backpage, my name is Martin Gregg, and this is part two of the big interview Q&A for March. On the line from Barcelona is Graham Hunter, and the questions, as ever, come from our sponsors at Bet365 and our socios at patreon.com/Graham Hunter, where you can sign up to access extra big interviews and other exclusive content, including the audio versions of all of Graham's ESPN columns. Graham, the first question comes from Maria, a new socio. Thanks for supporting the show, Maria. Maria asks, Messi is obviously Barcelona's talisman, to the point that the press tend to make everything about him. My question is, do other Barca players get tired of being asked about Messi?
Hi, Maria. Or even hola. Tired of. I think that one of the phrases you hear most often when you're... I mean, listen, I get the chance to go into either flash zones, which is the television area, or mix zones, which is the general journalistic area, or sometimes I see Barcelona players on international duty. When you talk to them about Messi, they will, I admit, often say the same things, which include, I've run out of words. What else is there to say? He's the greatest of all time. And they all absolutely believe that. Where I've seen some of them chafe, it will depend on the mood that Messi's in that season, in that if you were to pose that type of question to David Villa or to Zlatan at certain stages, and I know you asked it differently, Maria, you asked about do they get, you know, a bit hacked off having to speak about him all the time. I think that, you know, when egos collide, there nobody should be under any misapprehensions that Leo Messi can be a hard taskmaster. If you watch Take the Ball, Pass the Ball, a film that Zoom and Duncan McMath and I made, then you saw Thierry Henry talking about when Leo Messi loses his temper in training over something as minimal as, you know, a free kick he's not been awarded, or a corner kick that he's not been awarded, or a penalty he's not been given, whatever it is. And Henry said, well, he loses his temper and he won't leave you alone until he's had the ball and scored four times and then he'll calm down again. When you are one of his teammates and you're not hitting your standards, or you demand more of the ball when he wants the ball, matches or training, then, you know, there is no doubt that frost can appear. And while right now the use of the ball at Football Club Barcelona is a strange mix of both servile and brilliant, in that most of the players in that first team squad know when to give the ball to Messi, when to give him a wall pass, when to notice that he doesn't want it and allow him to wander around a little bit more as you drag the other team around with certain passes. They're mostly quite finely attuned to it. I think that there are one or two, Coutinho being one, and Suarez admitted about a year ago that he had to learn not to automatically give the ball to Messi, but to judge when to give the ball to Messi. And clearly, over the subsequent year, he's got that equilibrium right. Alba is the prime example of... Alba seems to be living in Messi's brain. They think with one cerebrum. But when that isn't clicking, then I've seen players... And I'll name one. I think Rafinha is a player who would get a bit ratty about the way in which it is King Messi and it's King Messi's court. And there are certain players who, irrespective of thinking him the best, want a greater profile or want to be on the ball more or feel that the way in which the daily life at the training ground is run with Messi foremost in everybody's mind, and it is, can sometimes wear them down. So I don't think that the players in general are literally sick and tired of talking about him, because they don't, you know, he's so elite, he's so far above them all in their view, that it isn't some sort of Maria mumbling about, oh, I wish they'd all stop talking about Messi, and okay, he's good, but he's not all that. There's none of that. They sometimes run out of adjectives, but if you keep asking them every so often, when they're literally just finished holding their heads in astonishment, as happened at the Benito Villamarín when Betis were taken apart 4-1, and you saw Longley and you saw Rakitic put their hands on their heads in amazement when Messi scored that, I think it was the fourth goal, the chip, in the 1-2 with Rakitic. Now, Betis players are doing it too, but these players have seen quite a lot. I mean, Longley has seen enough. Rakitic has seen a lot of Messi, and they put their hands on their heads. Then sometimes in situations like that, when Messi's done something so special, they don't talk like, oh, mentally, I hear there's a question coming. The microphone's in front of me. It's going to be about Messi. Here's a response to get rid of them, or here's some pap words. Now, sometimes when you put a microphone in front of them, the situations like that, no matter how often they've spoken about them, they literally gush. You know, they drool because they can't understand, irrespective of all the tricks they've seen from Messi before, they can't understand how he's done what he's just done and how he does it so regularly. So I'll give you a conditional yes to your question, Maria. They've worked their poor little descriptive butts off over the years, some of them, and there'll be days when they don't have extra adjectives, and then there'll be days when they're just like you or I or everybody else listening to this, and they go, we don't bloody know how he does it. Isn't he magnificent? Please let him never stop.
Before we take a break, this is from Steve Freeth at our sponsors, Bet365.
Gee, Scotland were looking for 3 wins from their opening 3 European qualifiers. Where has it gone wrong, pal?
If you look at the quality of performance, certainly against Albania and Israel, I do think that the two results, even if they were hard fought and nervy when we beat Israel and Albania, to give ourselves that shot, starting with Norway, I think, as a ripper charge for the Euro 2020 via the Nations League, blah, blah, blah. There's no question in my mind that there's a group there. If you throw in, for my taste in football, at least Armstrong and Tierney and Robertson, Ryan Fraser, McGregor, you know, there are others. I think that we'd like to be surer of how we're playing in central defence. I have no bones about admitting that I wish Brian Gunn's boy hadn't declared for England, because he's an extremely good goalkeeper, and I think in general terms we may be in need of one. Where do the goals come from? Is Fletcher the answer? Well, we'll see, but I think that there are goals now potentially throughout the team. I'd be very interested to see Lee Griffiths. So why were they so bad in Kazakhstan? I think that we're at a stage whereby if we have 3 or 4 big absences in a bouncy away tie after a long journey against a side that we've underestimated, and the national team goes 2 goals down in a matter of short time, I'm not quite sure that there's enough experience or enough, just literally all hands on deck, that can wrench that back. And a lot of teams that face what Scotland faced in Astana will struggle to find a way out of the maze, and they shouldn't have got there in the first place. But the fact is that once you're in that brown stuff, it can be hard to get out, and that sets a tone. And I don't think it's representative. I think that while we're talking now, it may well be that Scotland are in the search for a new manager. We'll see. I'd be very sorry to see a friend of mine, Alec McLeish, if he were not to be in post by the time you're listening to this. I'd be sad for him because I like and respect him, and he's meant a huge amount to me in my career, not just in my life. But I do think that some of the feedback that we get would be that this is a squad whereby a large number of footballers understand each other's abilities, aspirations, are at a similar age, have got a similar level of self-belief and confidence, and it's time to capitalise on that. I think that you might disagree, all of you listening, not just Steve, because he will. You might think I'm twisting the kaleidoscope to make a pattern I like, rather than seeing the pattern that's there. But my view is less about automatically we're going to be knocking over big sides and definitely qualifying for Euro 2020. What I have no doubt about now is that there is sufficient ability and motivation in a group of those players that with the right steering and with the right types of men around the... I honestly think 6 or 7 very good talents that we have, very good talents, I think Scotland can become much more than they are right now. I think that it was and maybe still is in their power to qualify second. And I think it probably still is in their power to use the Nations League to qualify for Euro 2020. But I see something different as the absolute goal. And the dearth of our tournament experience is very, very bad for the points that you need to score to help your coefficient. It's very, very bad for players' personal development that you need to be at a tournament in order to grow. I don't have any doubt about that. However, short term, if it were me in Malky Mackay's position, or if I were president of the SFA, or indeed if I was coach of the Scotland team, while you want to qualify and while your goal is to do the things that matter for that, what I want to see now, that I would want to see if I was in those positions, would be an absolute assurance that every decision, every plan, every gesture, every team talk, every decision made about who comes in to augment the coaching staff, whether the national team does or doesn't use sports psychology, that every single decision was now better than some of those I've seen. And I'm now talking less about the coaches than about the SFA. I would want to see that we could be clear that by the time 2020 takes place, whether the Scottish national team is there or not, every last drop of ability and attitude and availability and midterm planning had been squeezed out of the association, the coaching staff and the group. Now, in that instance, I think we'll qualify. If we don't do that, then we don't have enough quality to skate through a group. That's been shown. And there'll be another group round the corner instantly for the Qatar World Cup. You know, these things come thick and fast. But that's where I think we're at, Steve and socios. It's if you absolutely maximise our resources in the way that recently, never mind a man-for-man comparison, Wales and Northern Ireland have been doing, and it now looks that under McCarthy, Ireland are going to do too. Then if we mimic that, we now, in my humble opinion, have as good a group of players as Wales, a better group of players than Northern Ireland, and a better group of players than Ireland. Yet each of them looks more likely to do well than us, and that needs to change, because there is now undoubtedly a sufficient ability of like mind and who care about the national team for us to do a whole heap better than we've been doing recently.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back with an audio question from Richard from Huddersfield.
I want to imagine that you've been given the job to change Spanish football for the next three seasons. So imagine you're in charge of La Liga and the Federation for the next three seasons. What changes would you make and why? Good luck with the job.
Hello, Supercos. I think the answer you want me to give you is 6 or 8 months planning of dates so that people who love to visit La Liga can do so. With an absolute certainty of what day and what time the match will take place. Yeah, look, I mean, one of the first things I'd attempt to achieve would be that the pockets of racism that exist would be targeted right across Spanish football, by which I mean at every level, with a concentrated program of education. Because We're all going to be lost in the debate about how do you punish? How do you punish adequately? What does it achieve right across Europe? Because racism's on the rise. And it has never been eradicated in Spain. Efforts that I saw in Britain while I was growing up had never taken place in Spain. And that was social education. That was a changing of higher education provision about culture and colour, and an education programme, whether it's similar to or identical to Kick It Out, that by and large doesn't properly exist in Spain. And that's, if I were in charge, I would plant seeds. And I wouldn't be one of those saying, I can guarantee you'll see a difference immediately and cultural change will burnish La Liga's reputation, because that's just naive and stupid. But it's such an important, not topic, necessity, that to see somebody actively and thoroughly copying ideas from other nations where there's been progress and planting those seeds in for good means that, you know, you don't get a proper harvest in the future unless you plant the seeds. And that would be what, Richard, that would be one of the first things that, if you kindly put me in charge, the second thing would be I'd have a right good party. I'd make sure that La Liga had a right good party. And it wouldn't be in Madrid and it wouldn't be in Barcelona. And I'd pick one of the satellite cities and I'd make sure that I got ex-players from La Liga, sponsors, media from all around the world, and we had a right good rammy. Because there's so much about La Liga that needs telling as a story. The beauty of the football culture in some of the cities, the extraordinary idiosyncratic nature of some of the stadia, the past glories that are kind of hidden in Spanish football, club football, that aren't so... I mean, I've got a good working knowledge of Italy and Germany and France, but I grew up in Britain, and because, you know, British football was piped around the world at a far earlier date than Spanish football was, the legends of British football, and because British football was a founder of the world game, those legends are far better promulgated, far better known, and there's so much that's rich and beautiful and funny and characterful about Spanish football that I'd like to, you know, I'd have my little, that little get together, that little rammy would be about promulgating, not today's stories, not modernization stories, but re-emphasizing the rich, beautiful foundation of Spanish football history. And I'd have some of the characters from that history there on hand. But to business, I know what I know. You're asking for things that are different from those two first reactions, but it can't be a surprise to anybody that I share very few of Javier Tebas's views outside football, and there are some of his gestation of La Liga that if I were to sit down over the table and he was to give me the chance, I would argue with him about. But there's no point in being hypocritical. The current manager of La Liga, Javier Tebas, has made a lot of positive differences. And therefore, what I would ask if I were in charge would be that while there will never be mass immigration of one set of fans to another club's grounds as an away troop, like we grew up with in the UK, like is predominant in Italian football, German football, French football, to greater or lesser degrees. Spain is such a big country, and the kickoff times are so difficult for groups of fans to accommodate. I don't think that there'll be a mass change, but what I would do is automatically offer clubs the opportunity to mimic what happens in the cup final or in the Champions League and say, we think there's a really positive need for there to be a quota. You must offer 5%, 6%, 7% of the stadium to the away club for their fans and see if they can take it up. I think that would be a must. I would thoroughly try to treat travelling fans differently. That's something that I would put time and effort into. Now, whether that is travelling fans of the away team who come domestically, and how they're policed, what part of the stadium they get into, how they're treated when they arrive. But also, given that it's absolutely vital for La Liga to continue to generate more revenue, to because they, at the moment, this is one of Tebas' successes, no question about it, that they needed to generate more so that the pie was bigger, so that it could be better distributed, and the two big Goliaths could still be eating the pie very heartily. You know, that what Tebas said was, we will give more money to all the clubs in the Primera outside Barca and Madrid, not by taking so much away from Barca and Madrid, but making the pie bigger, making the whole much greater. And to do that, they need still greater international revenues. It's as simple as that. The league must be more attractive to television around the world, and it must be even more attractive to sponsors around the world, and that's coming. But were I in charge, one of the things I would do would be to say to the football tourists, of whom there are well over a million in a season, if you want to travel to Spain to watch Getafe or Athletic or Villarreal or Atleti or Madrid or Barca, we'll help you. We will try to make sure that you can plan in advance. We won't make sudden changes at the last minute, and we'll make it a process that's attractive to engage in and repeat in and come back to and to bring your kids to and all that kind of stuff. And the more that other countries have that system of a planned calendar, which is available in advance and stays rock steady, the more that Spain needs that. And that's one of the things I would automatically do. Finally, I think what I would do would be, in a meeting of all the clubs, I would ask them, entreat them, to make sure that the bare minimum was that it was guaranteed that one training session per month at every single club was fully open to the public. And if there was a majority of clubs in favour of that, I would try to get that voted in so that it became mandatory. Other than that, I mean, I could go on, Richard, I could go on and on and on about youth quotas, about the way to look at foreign imports, the amount of turnover spent on salary. These things would all come under my, what do they say in the thick of it, my bailiwick. But these would be the things that I would start with, Richard. And obviously, I'd give you, given your loyalty to La Liga, I'd probably give you, yeah, free tickets to the six matches of your choice across the... when am I in charge? I wouldn't take over now. So yeah, from the 2019-20 season. How about that, suitor cause? Was that what you were fishing for? Hold on, have I just been done?
And that's our Q&A show for March. We'll be back next month with more of your questions for Graham, and there's lots more big interviews to enjoy before then, including Sean Maloney, Troy Deeney, and the mighty Gus Poyet. Thanks for listening. Graeme Hunter, thank you and adios.
Thank you for joining us for season 2018-19. We've got huge creative plans for the months ahead, but we do need your help to make them happen. Please go right now to patreon.com/Graeme Hunter and become a socio, become a paying member, and get an extra big interview every month plus loads of bonus content. Last season, socios listened to 9 exclusive big interviews, including Rafa van der Vaart, Troy Deeney, Roberto Di Matteo, and loads of me talking about football. The Premier League, the Champions League, Spanish football. I'm sure they enjoyed it and you will too. Support us, join us. Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.